James chapter 1, verses 22 through 25. The Bible says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Father, we come to you one more time, and we ask for your blessing. Oh, the sermon is prepared for the time of preaching, but we know that blessing is of the Lord. Lord, open our hearts and our understanding tonight. Draw us closer to yourself and help us to put this into practice. Help us to be doers of your word and not hearers only. Help us to understand that the blessing is not in the hearing, it is in the doing. Father, we're thankful for that which you have taught us already in this epistle. And we pray, Father, that you will burn the truths that we find in your word on our heart tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We again approach the book of James, and as we approach the book of James, we understand that this book is a practical book, often called the Proverbs of the New Testament because of its practicality. James is not interested in one's profession of Christ as he is in one's possession of Christ. James would rather see somebody walk the walk rather than talk the talk. And we have a lot of individuals, a lot of professing Christians in our day who talk the talk. There are many who claim to be born again, born of God's Spirit, redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yet as you look at their life, you can step back and see that there has been no change and there currently is no desire for the things of God. And so James is pressing these truths to those who profess Christ because he wants them to mature in the faith. He does not wish for them to be deceived. He wants them to grow in the grace and knowledge which is found in Jesus Christ. And so James, this servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, writes this letter, and he is writing to a group of people who have been persecuted for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We saw that as we opened up the book, that he's writing to the 12 tribes which have been scattered abroad. These Christians, these believers, are scattered abroad because evil men have come in and have pushed them out of their homes, out of their jobs, and now they are finding rest in a new place. And so James comes with encouragement, and James comes with exhortation. And over the last 2 weeks, as we have studied this book, we have seen that the Apostle James has been exhorting his readers to look. In verses 17 and 18, we saw that James encourages his readers to look to God. In the midst of trials, in the midst of persecutions, in the midst of tribulations, James wants to remind his readers that they have a Father in heaven, the Heavenly Father, who does not change and cannot change. That the Father, God the Father, is the Father of lights. He is a Father who gives good gifts unto His children. And so in verses 17 and 18, we read of God's good gifts. We read that God is immutable, that He does not change, that He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And He is seeking to warm their hearts, to encourage them in the faith, by encouraging them to first and foremost look to God. And in verses 19 through 21, we saw that James encouraged his readers to look within. He first encourages them to look to God, to remember God's character, to remember God's attributes, that God is the same, that God cannot change. He is the Lord. He changes not, Malachi chapter 3 tells us. But then he also encourages those who are reading this epistle to look within themselves and consider their response towards God and towards other in the midst of their trials. He encourages them to look deep down within their own heart and soul and to be careful as they face trials, and to encourage them to be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. He also encourages them and reminds them of their responsibility to pursue holiness. In verse 21, he says, "Lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save their souls." James knows that when we face trials, we are tempted to speak against God and to speak against others. So he says, you better be careful of what you say. And James knows that in trials, we become spiritually weak and yes, even physically weak. And so he wants them to look within themselves, examine their own heart, examine their own walk with God, and to do two things. And to lay apart that which is sinful, to put aside that which displeases God, and to neglect that which is rebellious, and then also to receive the Word of God, to receive with meekness the engrafted Word which is able to save and sanctify them. And tonight we see in verses 22 through 25, James encourages his readers not only to look to the Word of God, but to live out the Word of God. And so as we sit at the feet of the Apostle James tonight, I want to bring to your attention three lessons that are given to us here by this Bible teacher. Three lessons James gives us to consider tonight. The first lesson is found in verse 22. Look at it there, verse 22. And the first point I have for you tonight is, God gave us His Word to obey. And James says, "But be ye doers of the Word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." The first truth that teacher James is teaching his students is that God gave us His Word to obey. James is teaching us that hearing the Word of God is good and necessary, but obeying the Word of God is vital. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, it is important to take time each and every day to read the Word of God. It is important that we remain faithful in assembling ourselves together each Lord's Day, every time the church doors are open to explain and exposit the Word of God. And James says, while all this is good, while you read the Bible and this is good, while you come to church and hear the pastor, the preacher, exposit the Word of God, while all this is good and profitable, he says, one spiritual life doesn't end at hearing the Word of God. It only begins there. And James is teaching us this truth, I believe, for two primary reasons. James is teaching us this truth because he knows that there are many unconverted individuals who are mere hearers of the Word of God. I have read many statistics of those who profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior in our own country. And it's somewhere up to 50, 60, yea, even 70% of those who are United States citizens profess to be Christian. And again, James is not interested in what people think or what people say that they believe. He wants to see faith acted out. He knows that proof is in the pudding. He is not caring what one says. He wants to know what one does. So he teaches this truth in verse 22 to be a doer of the word and not hearers only, because he knows that there are many without the Lord Jesus Christ who are constantly hearing the word of God. Secondly, he also knows that there are many Christians who are misled by a false belief that merely hearing God's word is what God requires of us. And James is writing to Jews. And you have to understand who the Jews were influenced by. The Jews were strongly influenced by the Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees. And the Pharisees, scribes, and Sadducees based their religion, based their faith on external works. You remember Nicodemus in John chapter 3. If ever there was a man in which somebody pointed their finger and says, there goes a religious man, there goes a spiritual man, that's a man who knows the Lord, surely they would have pointed the finger at Nicodemus. Why? Because he knew the law, he professed to know God, and he followed the traditions of the Word of God as written by the lips of Moses. But James, writing to these Jews, knows their temptation. He knows that their faith can be merely external. And James knows that true Christianity is not just external, it's internal. Christianity works its way inside and then displays itself outside. All other religions of this world is vice versa to that. All other religions focus on the external, but true Christianity focuses on the internal, focuses on the heart. And so James is teaching them, don't be hearers only, be doers. And James knows their temptation to look back and to say with many Jews, well, we are Jewish because we are of our father, Abraham. We are okay because we have been circumcised. We are right with God because of where we grew up. We are right with God because we know the Torah. But there again, James says, don't be too quick to say, I want to see your faith lived out. Now let me respond to the first one tonight by showing you from Scripture that unconverted people regularly attend to the hearing of God's word. This is a sad truth, but it is a truth indeed, that each week as we open up the church doors, there are people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ who have an interest in hearing the word of God. And this was true even in the Old Testament and in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33, verses 30 through 33. We have the words here, the testimony of Ezekiel. Ezekiel was a prophet of the Lord. Ezekiel boldly declared the truth that God wanted him to declare. And we read something about Ezekiel's hearers. Let me read it to you. Ezekiel 33, verse number 30. Also, thou son of man, God says to Ezekiel, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses. And speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people. And they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument, for they hear thy words, but they do not do them. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet hath been among them. Now, if you're a preacher, if you're a pastor, those are some discouraging words. What God is telling Ezekiel, God says, Ezekiel, you are preaching and you are doing right. But let me tell you something about your congregation. All you are to them is a pleasant string of a guitar. All you are to them is like a concert. Oh, they go to the concert hall and they hear the orchestra played. And as you preach, as you speak to them the word of God, all you are to them is entertainment. One man said, I believe it was John Wesley, get on fire and people will come see you burn. So Ezekiel was on fire for the truth. He was zealous for the Lord and people were coming to see him burn. They had no desire to submit their hearts, to submit their wills to the ways of God. They were just coming out of curiosity. They were coming because their ears were tickled in some places and others, and they wanted to go back home and to speak against the preacher during lunchtime. They wanted to have fried preacher for lunch. And so this is a very discouraging time for Ezekiel, but it tells us something here that James is telling us. That there are individuals who are amongst us each week who come into the house of God, they hear the word of God, but listen, they have no desire to change at all. In their hearts, they are as hard as a rock. In their hearts, they are stone cold. They are stiff-necked, as the Israelites were, yet they come. And they come for many reasons. They come to fulfill a spiritual duty. They come because this is where their friends are at. They come because they think that they can obtain righteousness by some duty. But they do not come to be changed. They do not come as doers of the word. We see also in the New Testament that this is the truth as well. Matthew chapter 7, we have the words of Jesus Christ. If ever there was a powerful teacher, surely it was the Lord Jesus Christ. If ever one should receive the words of God and to obey them, surely it would have been to receive and obey the words of Jesus Christ. But Jesus tells us this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And Jesus knew what Ezekiel went through. And Jesus knew that there were people amongst the multitudes that he was teaching that were only there because they were curious. They were only there because the word was spread, hey, there's a preacher who is healing others. There's a preacher who claims to be the Messiah, who claims to be the Son of God. Come, let us see him. Yet they come, hear, and have no desire to do. And Jesus tells us in this passage in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, that there are many who will profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but they do not possess Jesus Christ in their heart. There are many who do even, and yet their doing is out of the wrong motive. Their doing is out of their unbelief. Their doing is not because they truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. We consider Judas. Judas heard the word of God, and he heard it day after day, week after week, year after year. And Judas was a man who received the word of God, but did not obey the word of God. Many, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy 3:5, many have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. Many profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. And Jesus said in the Gospels that there are many Pharisees who profess to know God with their lips, but their hearts are far from God. And so Jesus declares that those who belong to Him are those who not merely hear, but obey. We have to understand there will be people who turn on Christian radio, who listen to the Christian music of this day, who have a form of godliness, who may come to church, who may attend to the things of God externally, but they are lost. They are mere hearers. Do you remember the parable of the seed, the parable of the sower? There's only one seed that bears fruit. There are some which grow and they're there for a season, and then they're scorched. Some that are plucked away, but only one bears fruit. And Jesus says, by their fruit ye shall know them. So there will be many who hear, many who appear not to be right with God. But we need to be careful and we need to examine ourselves and to ask the question, are we a mere hearer of God's word? Are we a doer? And again, this is not teaching a work salvation. It's not by the works of the law that we are justified. And Romans tells us that very clearly. It's not by the works of the law. No man can be justified by the works of the law. It's not by works of righteousness, which we do, but it's according to God's mercy He saves us. So don't take James's words and twist them to make it a work salvation, because that's not what he's teaching. But what James is teaching, and we will see later in this epistle, he says, a faith that is true, a faith that truly is rooted in Christ, will work itself out. Yes, faith is good, but faith alone is dead. Faith that is rooted in Christ will reveal itself by loving God and loving others. Faith that is truly given by God will display itself by living as a holy sacrifice unto God. And so we understand on the flip side of this, that those who belong to Christ are those who obey Christ. Matthew 12:50, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Jesus says, look among you. You want to know my spiritual family? It's not those who merely hear, but it's those who do. It's those who submit themselves to the will of my Father. Romans chapter 2, verse 13. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. And James is writing this for a second reason. He is writing this not only because he knows that unbelievers fill the congregation each week, but he knows that it's possible for the true believer to fall into thinking that just because he reads the Word of God and attends church on Sunday, that he or she is pleasing God. It's possible to fall in that ditch. It's possible to think, well, preacher, listen, I have daily devotions each and every day, and I go to church, and you can check my attendance record. I haven't missed since Thanksgiving of 2001. And James is saying, wait a second, that's good and great, but there's more to the Christian life. There's more evidence that should be given. Oh, we may read the Word of God. We may listen to it preached on the radio or on the TV. And we may go to church week after week, but Christianity is more than hearing. Christianity is loving God. Christianity is doing the will of God from the heart. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, 22, Samuel rebukes Saul and says, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He says, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. In Psalm 51, 16 and 17, David cries out in his psalm of confession, For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. James is telling us it's possible to be like the child who disobeys the parents' instructions, yet tries to draw them pictures to make up for their disobedience. That ever happened to you? I guess my children are sleeping, so I can use them as an example. Happened this afternoon when we got home. And there was a need for discipline in one of my children. And I saw some buttering up in the kitchen when one individual came to my wife and said, "Look at this picture. Didn't I do a good job?" And I said, "I think he's trying to butter you up and get you forgetful about what happened a few minutes ago." My wife says, "I think you're right. I forgot." Sometimes we do that with God. We say, "God, look. Look what I'm doing. I'm involved in this ministry. I'm involved in this ministry. I've served this person. I've done it for this many years." And yet in our hearts, we're not truly obeying the will of God. Oh, we become like the Jews. We become like the Pharisees. And our Christianity is all external. But God wants the heart. And mom or dad would rather have their child obey than receive 1 million carefully colored pictures. I would rather have my children obey me the first time right away with a good attitude than to have boxes filled with colored pictures. Oh, don't misunderstand me. I love the colored pictures. I love the notes that say, "Daddy, I love you." I love the notes that have my picture drawn of me preaching from the pulpit, and I'm leaning and my face is distorted and everything else you can imagine from a 6-year-old and a 4-year-old. But I would rather have them obey and to do what they're told. That's what pleases me. And listen, that's what pleases God. God would rather have us obey Him, to do what His Word tells us to do, rather than to make up for it by doing some righteous works. James is telling us in James chapter 1, verse 22, he's telling us that God gave us His word to obey. James gives us a second lesson, and he's teaching us that those who hear the word and disobey are living a life of deception. Those who hear the word of God and disobey are living a life of deception. He says in verse 22, the second half of verse 22, and in verses 23 and 24, he says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." James says, those who hear the word of God but do not obey the word of God are deceiving themselves. It is a great tragedy when one deceives another person, but it is a worse tragedy when one purposely deceives themselves. And we purposely deceive ourselves when we clearly hear what God requires of us in His Word, yet willfully turn a deaf ear. And notice the illustration James gives us. He says, if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer only, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. And this word glass simply means mirror. And the man who hears the Word of God, who does not obey it, is like the man who goes to the mirror and looks in the mirror and sees the truth of what he looks like. And he might have dirt. He might have different things on his face that need attention. Maybe his hair is crazy and all out of whack. And that man who only hears, who does not obey is like the man who goes to the mirror, sees all the distortions, sees all that needs to be purified and cleansed, but walks away and forgets. He does not care. Those who hear the word of God and neglect to obey it are like those who look into a mirror. And after looking into the mirror and beholding their blemishes and stains, ignore it and continue to go throughout the day with a face that needs attention. You know, the word of God is like a mirror. It reveals truth to our heart. The word of God is a mirror, and it reveals to us the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. It shows us our ugly self-centeredness. It exposes our pride. It confronts us with our lack of compassion. It reveals our sinful anger and wrong speech. Oh, it shows our covetousness and our lustfulness. The mirror is not the one at fault. What would you suppose if you woke up and you saw your hair messy and your face needing attention? And ladies, perhaps you don't have makeup on. You look at the mirror and say, man, something's wrong with my mirror. I need to go to Home Depot and get this fixed right away. The mirror is only a revealer of truth. The mirror is not the one with the problem. We are the one that needs to be changed. And James is saying that's the same thing. When you look into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God is pure and perfect in every way. And when you go to it and you are convicted, when you see those changes which need to be made, the problem is not the word, the problem is ourselves. And those who only hear the word of God and don't do it is like the person who goes to the mirror, sees the problems, but ignores it. James is cautioning us, be careful. Don't be like that person. Go to the mirror and fix the problem. Go to God's word and submit yourself to it gladly. Those who hear the word and disobey it are living a life of deception, just like that man who is living in deception, thinking that all is okay when it is not. So the one who is a mere hearer only, the one folding their arms when they come to the word of God and they're resisting it, they are living a life of deception. James gives us a third thing to consider. He tells us that those who hear the word of God and obey it are living a life that is blessed. Oh, those who hear the word of God and disobey, they are living a life of deception, but those who hear the word of God and obey it, they are living a life that is blessed. And James says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And James is not declaring some new truth. There's nothing new under the sun. He, as a faithful preacher of the word, is only repeating that which he has heard from the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught this truth in Matthew chapter 7, if you will, turn there. Matthew chapter 7, we go back to that passage, verse 24. And this is a favorite among the children, the wise man and the foolish man. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, and Jesus taught James these truths. Jesus says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. And yes, we do apply this to salvation. Those who are built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, those who have received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they are like those who have built their house on the rock, and when death comes, they will be saved. And those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, those who reject the substitutionary death, those who reject the gospel message, those who are trying to work their way to heaven are like those who are building themselves on the sand. And death will come and great will be their fall. Destruction will be their end. But we see here Jesus is speaking of his sayings in general. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine. What sayings? Well, everything that he has told us on the Sermon on the Mount. This is the conclusion of Jesus' sermon on that mount, Matthew chapter number 5, chapter number 6, chapter number 7. Jesus has already concluded by giving them the Beatitudes, by teaching them on subjects of loving your enemies, teaching them of prayer and fasting and laying up treasures in heaven and not worrying. Jesus is teaching them about prophets, false prophets, and he says, those who hear and do are wise. And Jesus is, in essence, telling us that those who hear the word of God and obey will live a life that is blessed of God. In Luke chapter 11, 27 through 28, and it came to pass as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, said unto Jesus, blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Do you want to have the blessing of God in your life? I don't think there's any Christian that says, I want the cursing of God rather than the blessing. If we want God's blessing to be on us individually, to be on us in as a church family, if you want God's blessing as a family unit, you need to obey God's word. And the Bible tells us this truth also in Revelation 22, verse 7. The end of Revelation, behold, I come quickly, Jesus says. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. He said, not blessed is the one who hears. He says, blessed is the one who keeps. And you remember the words in Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Blessed. Blessing. God's presence. Oh, we can know it, but we need to be those who hear the word of God and do it. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Is this merely a song that we sing, or is this a truth that we cling to? In conclusion tonight, let me remind you that James himself, James, the half-brother of Jesus Christ, was a mere hearer of the Word of God most of his life. Remember, James grew up in the same family as Jesus Christ. James saw with his very eyes the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. James beheld that Jesus Christ was perfect and sinless. And James heard the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And though he heard and though he saw, though he received the Word of God, he was a hearer of the Word. For most of his life, he remained unchanged in unbelief. So, as I read these words, I'm sensing a passion in James. I'm sensing a desire as he's thinking about those who are going to read this letter and say, don't let that be you. Don't remain in unbelief for most of your life like I did. Don't just hear the Word of God and reject it. And understand, I saw it firsthand. I heard it with my own ears. And I turned away. Oh, I wish I could go back. I wish that I would have seen at a young age that Jesus Christ, my half-brother, was the Messiah. I wish I would have turned in my heart to Him sooner so I could live this vapor for His glory. And James is teaching us by example tonight not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the Word of God. I conclude by asking a couple questions. Are we hearers of God's Word or doers? Do we approach the Word of God with a desire to do all that is written inside the Word of God, or do we like to pick and choose? We like to obey that not so much. Our response to these two questions really, truly give evidence to whether we are in Christ or not. And again, that's where James is getting to. Oh, you can profess all you want, but your life will show forth the truth. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" That's a scary place to be. Those who profess that Jesus is Lord, and yet you look at their life and there is no display that indeed they are acting like Jesus is Lord. Listen, we are either obedient or disobedient. We are either walking as those who are deceived or those who are blessed. There is no middle ground. When the Word of God tells us to witness, to share our faith, to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ, are we hearers of the Word or doers? When the Word of God tells us to live a holy, sanctified, separated life, are we mere hearers of the Word or are we doers? When the Word of God tells us to be thankful and to be thankful for all things, are we hearers of the Word or doers? When the Word of God tells us to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ, to forgive one another as Christ has forgiven us, are we hearers or doers? When the Word of God tells us to watch our tongue, to stay away from slander and gossip, are we hearers or doers? When the Word of God tells us to use our time and our finances wisely, are we mere hearers of the Word or doers of the Word? When we come to church, do we receive God's Word passively or actively? When we sit down in the pew and open up our Bibles and listen to the preaching, do we come with a desire to be changed? Do we come with a desire to take God's Word, to receive it and obey it? Or do we merely just seek to grow in our intellectual knowledge? These are questions that we need to answer tonight. These are questions that our teacher, James, wants us to answer. He wants us to be cautious. He doesn't want us to be ones who deceive ourselves, but he wants us to be doers. And if we do his word, we will know what it means to have God's blessing. Would you join me in